glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, that's right. I am so glad that you're here. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, probably one of my favorite verses. It's in my top five, that's for sure. Romans 5:20 says, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. I just love that. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. I'll tell you what, praise God for his grace. Praise God for his mercy, which is new every morning because I certainly need it. Hey, happy Thursday, this 19th day of October 2017. Joey Kroll, spending some time with you. I hope you're having yourself a wonderful week. Wonderful, wonderful week. I absolutely love these temperatures. 70s for most part of our listening area this week. Absolutely gorgeous. Not a fan, though, I have to say, with the sun setting a little bit earlier. I am exhausted and tired and ready for bed by like 6:30. So the truth right there. That's the truth right there. So, yeah, I have to get used to that. That's for sure. Well, good to spend some time with you. By the way, we are still having the English conversation classes at the Great News Radio Center every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Next week, the final week in this series, then we'll pick back up after a couple of weeks off on November 9th. If you're interested in maybe becoming a instructor or a teacher, we would love to have you volunteer for a couple hours every week. You can get more details by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org. Click on About, and there you'll see a drop-down menu that has English conversation classes. So if you're interested in being part of that wonderful, wonderful, thriving, fruitful ministry, just visit our website, greatnewsradio.org, or call 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Again, the next series will be beginning Thursday, November 9th. We have today and next week in this current series, and then a couple of weeks off. And like I said, we will pick back up on Thursday, November 9th. Coming up on Friday, December 1st. Now, I know it's just several weeks away, but I'll tell you what, time really does fly. On Friday, December 1st at 7 p.m., you're invited to the Collingsworth Family Christmas Extravaganza taking place at the Lincoln Square in Urbana. Again, Friday night, December 1st at 7 p.m., Collingsworth family, I'll tell you what, they do a wonderful job of using their talents for the Lord. Tickets are available at itickets.com, itickets.com, or by calling 217-841-3132. That's 841-3132, 841-3132. Well, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and today we're going to focus on a study of the under-shepherd, a biblical view of the under-shepherd from 1 Peter, coming up right after this here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Now when the saints marching in, when the saints go marching in, dear Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I'm just a weary pilgrim traveling through this world of sin, getting ready for my Savior when the saints go marching in. Now when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, dear Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
I have a loving mother, she's gone on before, and I promised I would meet her on heaven's golden shore. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
And my father, may God bless him, I can see him now and then with the robe of white around. when the saints go marching in. Now when the saints go marching in,
when the saints go marching in.
Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
I'm waiting for that chariot to swing low, and I'll step in on a cloud of white. I'll leave here when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Now when the saints go marching in, marching in, when the saints go marching in.
Oh, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Joey Kroll with you here on this Thursday. So a pastor was brand new to a town, and he was out at the grocery store. As he walked out of the grocery store, he saw a homeless man, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm new to town. Do you happen to know where the post office is located?" And the homeless man said, "Yeah, you just go right down the street, hang a left, and you should see it right there on your right." And the pastor said, "Well, thank you. You know what? Come to church on Sunday, and I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the homeless man looked at him and said, "Heaven? You don't even know where the post office is at. Heaven?" I'll tell you what, throughout human history, God has called, equipped, and anointed a handful of men to lead, feed, and tend the flock of God. And today I want us to take a look, in honor of Pastor Appreciation Month, a biblical view of the under-shepherd. Christian pollster George Barna once said, "Most pastors work long hours, are constantly on call, often sacrifice time with family to tend to congregational crises, carry long-term debt from the cost of seminary, and receive below-average compensation in return for performing a difficult job. Trained in theology, they are expected to master leadership, politics, finance, management, psychology, and conflict resolution." So if you have your Bible today, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to take a look again at a biblical view of the under shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, it says, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock." Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd," that's Jesus, "and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So we see here a command in 1 Peter chapter 5 of what the role of the pastorate looks like. The most important thing, the most important thing. Now, this is just my thought, my opinion. The most important thing a pastor should be doing, above preaching, above visiting people in the hospital, the most important thing a pastor should be doing is keeping his relationship with Jesus intact. Now, I know some of us are saying, "Well, wait a second, we don't pay our pastor so he can have a relationship with Jesus. That should already come with the pastor." But you know what? A butcher is still working even if he's only sharpening his knives. A butcher's still working even if he's only sharpening his knives, because he may not be serving customers. He may not be slicing ham or slicing salami, but he's ready for when a customer comes. He's prepared. He's getting ready for when he has to serve. I mean, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The pastor who is not praying is straying. So the most important thing for anyone is keeping that relationship with Christ intact, because ministry is too hard. And life is too short to try to get through it without prayer, because you will not make it. You will burn out, stress out, or even strike out. I mean, if you are trying to do anything and everything in your own strength without prayer, you will go down in flames. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord." So another aspect to the role of the pastor is to preach and teach the word of God. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." This is probably one of the most important aspects to the pastorate. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all around the disciples and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" So it seems like God shows us here the priority of the pastor, which is to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now notice, though, here in Acts chapter 6, we don't see that the needs are not important. It does not say, well, forget those needs. We ought to be preaching God's word. Forget those widows who are in need. No, no, no. The needs of the church members are important. Amen. I mean, really, the needs are important. That's why many churches have other leaders. Some churches have deacons. Other churches have elders or godly leaders who will assist the pastor in tending to some of those needs. I mean, think about this. Do you know how fast a pastor will burn out if he has to meet every single need of every single church member in his church every single day? I mean, the role of preaching and teaching the word of God is so important. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And pastors are called to be shepherds. Two, look at 1 Peter 5:2. It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." You know, two primary passions of the biblical shepherd's heart must be to lovingly feed the sheep and lovingly protect and care for the sheep. That may mean visiting them or praying for them. James 5:14 says, "Is anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." You know, I told my church this past week that I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to be your pastor. When your friends turn their backs on you, or if your family disowns you, your pastor will still be there to love you, to encourage you, to support you, to love on you. Not only does a shepherd lead a sheep in the proper direction, but he leads the sheep away from danger. A shepherd would never allow a sheep to go near a cliff or rushing water. I mean, a shepherd would protect his sheep from predators. And taking a look at 1 Peter 5 again, taking a look at some of the roles of the pastor, he is to provide oversight. 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." King James says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Or the New American Standard says, "Exercising oversight." So it is the responsibility of the pastor to provide oversight in guiding and directing the fellowship. You know, I think of Hebrews 13:17. which says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over you as those who must give an account. There is an accountability that each pastor has to give to Almighty God. Yes, there's authority, there's responsibility, but there's also accountability. James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. 1 Peter 5 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5:3 tells us that a pastor should not be the dictator pastor, lording it over them, but to be examples to the flock. And verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Did you know that your pastor has a special reward from Almighty God? A future reward when Jesus comes back? But I'm sure that your pastor gets the privilege of getting some earthly rewards as well. Standing in the pulpit, opening the Word of God and proclaiming it. Watching what happens to you, watching his people grow up in their walk with the Lord, the great privilege of watching people come to Jesus. Talk about a great reward. I remember one time I was working with, in my counseling ministry, I was working with a couple, and their just marriage was just on the fritz. And God did something incredible after, I think, 6 or 7 weeks of counseling, and just God really restored their relationship, really restored their marriage. And I remember I got a note from the wife who said, God used you to save my marriage. Talk about a great earthly reward right there. Just humbling. I remember receiving a little note from a little girl in Cran. I think she was like 9 or 10 in children's church one time. And she says, thank you for teaching me about Jesus. Oh, friend, just the earthly rewards just blesses you. But there's nothing will compare to the future reward that your pastor will get. The crown of glory, the Bible says, that will never fade away. So I encourage you today, here in October, which, by the way, is Pastor Appreciation Month, let your pastor know how much you appreciate him, that you're lifting him up, that you're praying for him and his family.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed
Yeah, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. And we are here because of your financial support. Your faithful contributions enable us to do what we did today, tomorrow, and for years to come. Consider making a gift today. You can send in your support to Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843, or you can give online at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on Donate. Well, tomorrow, Mark and Jason in the studio for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light. And you are the hands and feet of Jesus.